And today, God, in His message to you, wants to relay His absolute unconditional love for you, irregardless of where you think you stand. If you've confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you're struggling with the issues of life, well, come home. Welcome home, because the Father is standing and ready for you to just run into His arms and to be received. He can handle any problem that can ever arise in your life. He can tackle the biggest struggle you've ever had to struggle with. There is nothing too big, too small, too far away for God to be able to come and come in for a rescue. God has your back. He's got your front. He's got your feet. He's got your head. He's got every part of you. He ought to, because He knew you before you were ever born in your mother's womb. God truly loves you. He does desire all men to be saved. He doesn't turn and set His anger and His wrath on us when we're not quite there yet. He lures us in through the Holy Spirit and through those of us that just preach the gospel. He wants all men to be saved. Unfortunately, not everybody accepts that invitation. I say that to say this, that He wants to love you completely, but you have to be willing to be loved. It's like someone who stands and says, "Come give me a hug." It's your choice to receive or not to receive. Someone offers you a drink, water. It's your choice. And it's your choice to receive God's love, because let me tell you something. He's offering it to you whether you like it or not. He offers it to those that are unsaved whether they want it or not. His love is always there, ready and willing to be picked up, brought in, and released. That's your daddy in heaven. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why Jesus is our mediator, and we pray through Jesus to the Father. We cannot forget Daddy, and that's what this series is all about. Daddy loves you. He's your heavenly Father, and He's not like earthly fathers. He makes no mistakes. He's not puny with His love. He knows just how to discipline, and He will always keep you and hold you and never release you from His grip. So don't try to wiggle out. And don't try to struggle out. Just let Him do what the Father does best. Amen? Father, we just pray this morning as the message is brought forth on the Father's love, that we're renewed in our spirit of just who Daddy is and how much He really does love us. He's the author. He's the one who sent His Son. He loves us just as much as Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because they're one. He's not a tyrant ready to pounce on us every time we sin. He's a loving Father waiting for us to run into His loving embrace. So God, this morning I pray that through the Holy Spirit in me, You will bring the message from Your heart to the hearts of all those that have ears to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're talking about the Father's love, and we're going to get deeply into it because God wants to deeply love you. And more importantly, He wants you to know and experience that level of love. Some of us are living superficially on the edge of God's love. Yes, God loves me, but I don't feel it, I don't experience it, and I'm not really sure. And then those of us that have taken maybe a step into the water that are ankle deep, you know, we have a little bit more of God's love, but there that unsure time comes and that little wavering of faith comes at times, and we just need a renewal of His experience of His love. And some of us go knee-deep into the love of God. We get into His Word, we really know that He's there, He'll never leave us or forsake us, and we're bolder with our faith, and that love is more, you know, just compact in us. It's just there. It's not going to break apart and fall away. And so we glean a little more, and we're able to minister even more. And then, boy, they can go up into the hips and get hip deep right into the point that you can go all the way under. And when that happens, He's in complete control, and you're in complete and utter total submission, and God can do anything through a vessel like that. He can do things through you, healing and deliverance and bringing people to the Lord, and it'll be a natural thing that just goes on and day by day in your life, in your natural life, because the supernatural becomes one with the natural part of you, because there's no hindrances, there's no blocks. You're receiving all of God's love, and you're pouring all of God's love out. What could possibly interfere with that? If the devil tries to get in the way of that, or if any demon tries to get in the way of the outpouring of God's love through you, all it's going to do is make them run. He can't be around that type of righteousness, that type of love, for God is love. He won't hang around when you're worshiping like we've worshiped this morning, when it's pure from your heart and it goes beyond the words on the screen and you're just letting him know that there's no, I don't want nothing left, Lord. I just want to give it all to you because you deserve it all. You have my eternal state in mind. I'm going to be with you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I'm going to be with all those who have ever accepted you forever and ever and ever and ever. And we're going to worship you and we're going to experience things that this world could never even possibly come close to. But we have to understand that right now, even wherever we are, even if we're in the pig pen, God's love is still right there waiting to pick you up and pick you out and take you into his arms. But you got to move your feet. It's just like worship. You got to move your lips. You got to move your hands. You got to move your feet. You got to move your body. You know, you got to move so that God, you're manifesting your worship to God. He needs to see that. He knows what's in your heart, granted, but he loves it when he sees his worshipers dancing and praising and clapping and just before him with no inhibitions, because nobody cares about what the other person thinks. We care about what God thinks. It's time to be released from all the bondage and the ropes that tie you down from receiving all of God's love, because when you do receive all of God's love and you do receive everything that he wants you to be operating in through the Holy Spirit in you and stuff like that, and you move all of the worldly things out of the way and the distractions and the things that keep you busy, good things, some of which need to be removed from your life so that you can concentrate on the things that God has and wants to do through you. That is when we're going to experience the glory of God. That's when you come out of the tent, out of your tent, and your face will shine. People need to see God in us so that they want what we have, so that they'll come to the living God and experience what we experience when we're in worship or when we're just simply ministering in however God has equipped you to minister to others with, whether it's a singing voice or a giving hand or a talent in some way, shape, or form of music or preaching or teaching or just loving. All of it emanates from God. You can't do any of it in your own strength. But one thing God is calling for, and that's the message this morning that's going to be concentrating on, is just as in worship, you have to move. You can't dance without dancing, without moving. You can't clap without clapping, without moving. You can't sing without words coming out. All of this is an expression. What worship is in this sense is an expression. And today, expressing love and expressing intimacy, which is what God is all about. God has been from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Love and intimacy. It should come naturally to us. Listen to me. When you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit's come to live within you, if you've yielded, if you've truly submitted unto God and he is your life and you know he's your God and he's reserved a place in heaven for you, expressing love and intimacy should come naturally, because that's what God created us for. His purpose in creation was to express his love and intimacy to others. It starts with us, where we receive his love and intimacy, but we remain on this planet and don't get raptured right away once we receive that, because it's our nature now to express love and intimacy to others. You understand that? His purpose for leaving you here and keeping you here because of sin in the world, right, isn't so that you can get so exposed to sin. And you know, he knows the dangers that are around you. And he will ultimately protect you from all of that. Doesn't mean it's not going to come at you in full force, but he's given you what you need to come right back at it in bigger and better force. Love and intimacy will not come natural to you, because a lot of times you grow up in homes and in places where love and intimacy was never seen. You've never experienced it. So how can you experience love and intimacy with God if it's never expressed in the natural for you? Teachers that you grow up with, parents you grow up with, brothers and sisters, siblings, all that stuff. If you've never experienced that absolute unconditional love from people, then getting and receiving it from God is a little bit more difficult. Because you're going to have to come to him and ask for it And to do that, you're going to have to know that he's kind and loving and willing to give it to you freely without cost. We should, without cost, freely give that kind of love to others, no matter who they are. I want you to think about something extremely important today. It's very easy to share love and intimacy with Dan Allen or Ann Allen. Love and intimacy can flow daily, 24/7, with people like this. But what about those who are unlovable? What about those that are in the midst of sin right now? What about those who are in rebellion to God that don't even know him yet? Can you freely express and allow God's love and intimacy through you to reach them? Because that's what's going to win them. Not a picket sign. Not a screaming, you're being disobedient to God, you're going to hell. But love and intimacy. Because they have a void. That's why they are the way they are. They have a void of love because God is love. They don't have God, so they don't have love. They have to experience love and intimacy. You've got to experience and embrace. And sometimes you can love the hell right out of somebody. The demons right out of somebody. Love is so important to God because it's who he is. And intimacy is so important that that's why you still remain here. And if we can't receive it, we can't give it. So this series is so important that you get so much of God's love that when you go out into the world, those who do not know him will see God in you and want what you have. If you think about the word intimacy, break it down. In, to, me, see. Into me, see. Intimacy. Whether you know it or not, there are eyes on you at all times. Your Heavenly Father's eyes never leave. The Lord Jesus, who's God, the all one, triunity of God, the Holy Spirit, he lives in you. He sees everything, right? True. God, Jesus does. He's all-seeing, all-knowing. He sees you. And now what he wants is the world to see him in you. They need to see into you for intimacy. And when they do, they will not be able to help themselves because the power of God is stronger and can put them on their knees and repentance can take place. And I know this because it happened to me. And you know it because it's happened to you. It doesn't matter where and how far somebody is and away from God, no matter how much they are in whatever. Anyone can be overthrown by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the greatest powers you have comes from the fruit of what you have in the Holy Spirit, and that's love. It's listed first because it's God. Love can cover a multitude of sins. Love can grab the vilest of sinners and bring them into the fold. Love can accomplish all things. And it's love that we're being asked to be used by God in intimacy, not afraid to be amongst those who do not know their way yet. If we're not with those who do not know their way, if we're not like Jesus hanging out with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and all those that didn't know, and what did he do? He sat there and he talked about Father's love. There's a heaven. There's a place reserved for you there, but you have to come. You have to come and receive the kind of love that God has to give to you. You can't keep living the life that you're living right now, but your Father in heaven had never intended you to live that way, but he loves you right now and he wants you. Well, that's great, Jesus, but what did he back it up with? Because when you're that kind of a vessel, the power of God now begins to move in you and through you to heal and to deliver. And then when people begin to see that kind of power with that kind of love leading that power, that's when they begin to say, I want that. I don't need to be stealing over here when I can get free the love of God, which is so much more inviting than the billions of dollars anyone can have. Because those kinds of people, half of them are committing suicide. Money will never fill the void in your heart. The only thing that will fill that void is God, because that's how he created us. So I want whatever void is in you, whatever is there that you've not yet received of God's unconditional love, I pray that today and through this series, you will receive it. And you will become that vessel, that channel, that person that he's left here on this planet to be a living testimony of who God is. Because that's what you need to be. Eventually, we will become just like him. We're in the process of that, right? It says that one day we're going to see him in full glory, and we're going to be in glory. But until that time, we're a work in progress. But boy, speed it up, folks. Get that fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and start manifesting those. Start, it's like anything else. You got to use them. Just like I just said about clapping and singing and dancing and stuff. You got to move. You got to get that body to do what you tell it to do. Paul said, I buffet my body. I beat up my body. I tell it, arm, you get a clapping. You feet, you get a moving. Yes, that's a physical illustration of a spiritual truth that he said. I buffet my body to conform into what the Jesus, the Christ, the image of Christ is. Paul says, my spirit man will tell my body what to do. So if I want to go out there and be mean to somebody, or I want to go out there and be sexually immoral, or I want to go out there and do that, my spirit man's saying, no, 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 you're a child of the King. You've inherited eternity. Don't you even think about it. If these kinds of conversations are not happening with you, you got to get on your knees and you got to say to God, come in and come completely and allow me to be an expression of you wholeheartedly. I can't be reserved anymore. Time is short. I need your strength. I need your power. I need your love more than anything. Love and intimacy given to you. If you're not comfortable, listen. If you're not comfortable with receiving or expressing love, and again, that starts when you're like this and you come out, maybe mom and dad never held you. Maybe you know, you've never had intimacy and a hug from somebody and you grew up. So you grew up being not able to give that kind of love back. I wasn't really hugged by my father. I knew my father loved me. But the expression of that love and a hug, I would have longed for my father to embrace me and just simply say, I love you, son. You know, I didn't get that, but I knew he loved me, though. And I knew he just didn't know how to give that because he probably never received that. And you can go back generation to generation and see how things are passed on. You recognize things. You recognize traits in yourself that were in your parents or in your grandpa. I'll never be like that. But then sometimes we end up being that way. What I'm saying to you is that expression, that's like faith without works. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. Well, without expression, without works, faith is, it's dead. It means it has no life. It has no ability to minister to anybody else. If you're not comfortable with receiving God's love, you've got to put your past behind you when it comes to those things that are not of God. And just know that God's got that covered. I got your back. Remember, he's got your back. I'll deal with all those hurts that you've had. I'll deal with all those people. You worry about you. Right now, I want you to receive in the now my love so that you can move forward. If you're not comfortable with receiving, you'll never be able to express. But if you're not comfortable with receiving and expressing love, then God is love, right? You'll not be comfortable with God. Think about that. If you're not comfortable receiving his love and expressing his love, then you're just not comfortable with God. You're probably into works, or you're probably into religious striving, or you're probably into, you know, I'm going to please God in a lot of other ways. But if it gets too intimate, if he's requiring too much of me to be exposed, to become intimate with even others and such like that, then you're not comfortable with God. Don't you think God can cover up all the junk in your life? And when you're around other Christians who understand they got just as much junk as you, but maybe in a different way, do you risk getting burned and someone coming back go, oh my God, I didn't know you did that in life and stuff like that. I'm never hanging around you again. Your response, if you know that God's love, you go, okay. He shouldn't condemn you. Because why? Because God loves me. I'm his kid. I don't have a past of all that junk anymore. I'm a loving son and daughter. Hey, you have the privilege of loving me. And if you don't want that privilege to love me when I expose my junk so that somebody else maybe can get saved or understand that they're not the only one suffering the same way or whatever, if you can't understand that, then you know what? That's what God says. He separates the wheat from the chaff, the goats, right? well, you're saying I'm not saved or something like that? If you don't have love and God is love, then probably. I'm not saying it. The Word of God is saying it. There ought to be fruit. How do you know you're a Christian? Jesus said, well, by their fruit. And what's the top fruit? Love. If you're not comfortable with receiving and expressing love, it leads to fear. That's the alternative. See, if you're not loving, you're going to move toward fear because it's the opposite. And fear is, you're going to have fear of things like the ability to trust because you're not loving purely other people. It's going to be difficult to trust them. You're going to feel rejection, right? If you're not giving and receiving love, what are we going to feel? Outcast, rejected. That's where rejection comes in. Or maybe you're going to feel abandoned. There's plenty of us that have felt abandoned, right? Maybe you were born in a household where you never, love was never expressed. And so that feelings, you've taken it into your marriage and you've taken it into your adult life. You've never really gotten over that. And you stay very reserved and you're very chintzy with how much you expose yourself and give of love to anybody else. God doesn't want you like that. And if you are, there's healing for that. And it's not just in this sermon. Hey, come to the four-year health seminar and you're going to see all that exposed in you. Personally, in a closet with God. And then he's going to come love you like you've never been loved before. How do we know this? Because we've experienced it for 20 years. And he never fails. God never fails. The inability to trust, rejection, abandonment will steal a life of intimacy from you and cause you to see people and even God as a potential threat to you. You're going to avoid getting into a relationship with somebody. You're going to avoid getting deeper with God because it's a threat to you, because you just continue to embrace those feelings of abandonment, rejection, and trust. Because maybe that's been in your life for 30 or 40 years. If you've been feeling that way for 30 or 40 years, give God a break. You just got to say, hey, wait a minute. I can't blame this on God. I've held this in. He's offered free love for me all these years. I just need to just receive it. And God just moves that out of the way. Doesn't go away completely. You remember those things, but they're not stingers to you anymore. And God's love takes over. Don't let the devil steal love or intimacy from you. And don't look at Almighty God the Father as a threat to you. He's not. We're in a whole new covenant with God through Jesus Christ. The Gentiles are no longer a target because of their unbelief. We become part of and adopted as members of the household of faith. Praise God, isn't that great? God now has received and accepted us and loved us unconditionally and is like the prodigal father who's always there, even when you're in the pig pen and you've moved far from him, to receive you. But you gotta move. How many times have I said that today? You gotta express. You gotta release that which in you that you are potentially capable of. I know that every one of you have a lot of love in you to give. Some of you have been very reserved all your life. Let's find out what's been gotten away. Let's get it out of the way and let that love emerge. Take the risk. Jump. That's faith. Will you ever get hurt? Will somebody not receive it and make you feel kind of bad? Yeah, maybe. But you don't care because God loves you and you love God. And that's really what motivates you to go everywhere else. You're going to have some wins and you're going to have some losses. There's going to be people that are going to receive and they're not going to receive. Don't let that intimidate you from going out and expressing and doing. So if God looks like a potential threat to you, you're going to avoid relationships and put your identity in what you do. So no longer is love your motivating factor, it's doing. I can do that. I can impress God with that. I can serve on the soup line. I can go out there and I can go on mission trips and build buildings. I can sit there and I can sweep the church floors and stuff like that. I can minister in a variety of different ways. And I'm just going to minister. And God's going, will you slow down, sit down, shut up, and just let me hug you? Because what I need you to do right now is to go give that person a hug so that they're going to be able to receive God's love, so it'll take them out of the drought that they're in. But you're too busy trying to minister all over here. I can't get you to do what I need you to do over here. Oh, but I'm doing good things, God. Jesus said, there's only one who's good. I'm glad you're doing good things. If you think you're really impressing God with how high you can jump and how good you can minister and stuff like that, let me tell you something. He's more impressed with how much you love than how much you do. Your sons and daughters first, not a servant. He's not looking for servants. He's looking for sons and daughters who happen to serve out of love. Don't avoid relationships. And don't put your identity in what you do. I know Teresa had to deal with that recently. Her identity for 40-some-odd years, you were a nurse. She identified with being a nurse. But before she was ever a nurse, she was known by God the Father, and she was a daughter of God well before that. And God's got a plan for her life to do so many things and so much love to be poured out, because everything she does is with love. It's a redirection of her life by God. But she could easily stay and put her identity in nursing and just hang her head for the rest of her life. I can't work anymore. I can't do nursing anymore. But that's not the case. She's still nursing. She's just nursing all of us and family members and everybody else. She's just doing it for free. She's not getting paid. I'm using her as an object lesson for all of you. Your identity is not in what you do, how much money you've made in life, how big a house you own. Your identity is in Christ. And until you discover what that identity is and what your purpose is and stuff like that, you can do and minister and take on positions and fill positions, and you'll never fill that void. You're just going to have to keep running and keep running and keep running, and there's no stopping. Where God wants you to just sit down and shut up and not go anywhere, but just find out what your identity is in Him and then only do what He tells you to do. Because that's what Jesus said. I only do what the Father tells me to do. That's my purpose on this earth, to do what the Father sent me to do. So Peter, get behind me, Satan. Isn't that what he said to Peter? When Peter suggested, oh no, nothing's going to happen to you, God. We're not going to let you die. He goes, I got to die. That's God's plan. So Peter, get behind me. And that's what you have to do. You got to know what God's plan is for your life, and sometimes you're going to have to learn to say no to good things. The things that you're going to go to for enjoyment that God interrupts you with because you got a minister. Well, I was heading to, okay. And once you get all that love in you, you'll do it with a good attitude. And even though you're saved, sealed, delivered, spirit-filled, and you're an awesome ministry gift, you can be battling depression and oppression every day. I'm going to say that one again. How many churches you walk into and see all those smiling faces, and underneath those smiling faces is so much depression and oppression that it would knock your socks off. It's called being real. When you begin to expose yourself and let people know that, you know what, you're not the only one that's suffering from this, this, or this. What are people doing by doing that? They're hiding. They're coming into a religious service and they're honoring God and they're so oppressed and depressed, but you never know until they walk out those doors and get in the car, and then all of a sudden, boom. Even happens to those who are, you know, like I said, spirit-filled and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's times where we just hit that bottom and we're laying there and we need a hand up. Folks, if we view love the way that a lot of people portray love, we're in trouble. Because how some people view love and how they give love is not really the way biblically we're supposed to love. The way somebody might have loved you is by they just served you. Like I was talking about before, you know, they gave you everything. I dated a girl well before you. She had a lot of money. She had a lot of money. And every Thanksgiving and every Christmas and every holiday, she'd get a check. She'd get a check. Daddy loved her. He did. His way of showing love was to give her things. But what she needed most I love you, daughter, with a hug. And she'd have taken all that money and given it away from one hug. Folks, we express love in different ways. And all I want you to understand today is God is into me see, intimacy. Don't be afraid to share your love with others. Appropriately. And you all know what I mean by that, and I'm not going to go into that. It's a whole other sermon. But love, the way it's defined by God, read 1 Corinthians 13, and you'll know how appropriately means and what it means. A newly saved man decided it was time to go to church with his wife one Sunday. He had long hair and baggy jeans and was completely put off by the people that he met there at church. He asked his wife, you know, I just got to say, what's wrong? What did I do? She said, it's your hair. Oh, I know this game. You have to act right in order to fit in. I'm sorry, I should have known that. So he cut his hair and he put on a coat and he began to learn how to play church. How to shake hands and say there's nothing wrong. How to come in and follow an order of service without being free to allow himself to do what that inner man wants to jump out and do. Because it may look and it may push people away from him because he's not acting right. See, there's an appropriate way to act right in church. Really? Is there a formula to act right in church? If you worship in spirit and truth, whatever manifests is appropriate. The joy of the Lord, you're going to be clapping and dancing. If you come in and you just have a reverential, awesome fear of God and his love is appropriate, it's there, we'll see you probably lying on the ground or up at the altar with your knees down. See what I'm saying? Not everybody's going to be twirling. Sorry about that. Some people are going to be prostrate on the ground. Some people are going to be kneeling at the altar. Some are going to be clapping. Some are going to be just standing there and lost in love. There's nothing inappropriate when you're listening to the voice of God and you're just hearing the angels and the choirs in heaven worshiping, and then you begin to move. But it should cause you to do something. Otherwise, it's probably not reaching you. But see, he cut his hair and he put his coat on and he started to play church. He began measuring how close he was to God by the things that he did and by how he felt and by how he prayed and by how much he knew and how much he read the Word. He believed that he had to work harder to have acceptance and value in people's lives. I'm just going to read my Bible more. That's going to get me closer to God. I'm just going to pray more 2 hours a day instead of 1 hour a day. That's going to get me closer to God. I'm going to go to church every single Sunday, and that's going to get me closer to God. Really? Okay. Continue to do. He was born again, but he moved into hyper-religious activity, and it happens to a lot of people. You get saved, and now you think you have to earn God's love by doing. When all along, God had freely given you grace in the beginning to receive his love, and he wants you to maintain that and keep it the rest of your days so that everything that you do emanates from love, not everything that you're doing trying to get more love. You got all the love you're going to get from God right now. 100% of it. Why are you trying to earn any more of it? It doesn't mean that you don't do ministry, but love comes first. Return, he says, to one church who was a doer, 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 church. To your first love. Repent. Come back to your first love. When you first got saved, you didn't worry about whether you're going to be on a committee of committees. You didn't worry about whether you're going to be on the board. You didn't worry about whether or not you know what your schedule was going to be like and going to conferences and all that kind of stuff. When you first got saved, you just it was like taking a hot bath. You just lavished in the fact that you knew you were going to heaven and you were forever now. and in God's family. And the joy of the Lord was your strength at that moment. And everything was innocent at that point because it was like, oh my gosh, I'm now cleansed and purified by Jesus Christ. I haven't moved anywhere yet, so I'm still purified and cleansed fully. And then we take our first step of whatever it is that we're going to do. Still saved, but having now to be, today I got to get a little of this dirt off me. And then a month into your life, I got a little more dirt off me. And then about 10 years into your life, you know, you're going to end up taking a jacuzzi bath sooner or later. Until you get to that point where as you're going up that mountain, then all of a sudden you realize as more truth is coming in that, hey, my behavior and the love of God is taking over and I'm doing more. And then now all you need is a little washcloth once in a while. That's life. It's the way it works. We just need to be open to God's love, receiving God's love and giving it away, receiving God's love and giving it away. If you just receive it and you never give it away, then, oh my gosh, you got another problem. You're all stopped up. And people see you. You're all stuck up. I know the Bible, and I know how to dance, and I know this, and I know that, and what do you know? Well, I don't know because you haven't shown me. I need to be mentored. I need to be fathered. I need to be brought into your love camp. See, that's what people want from you. Not to know how much you know and how good you could be to them. They want your love. They want to experience the circle that you're in with God. Don't get into hyper-religious activity. You see, whatever you feel you have to do to feel loved and accepted by God is what others will have to do to feel loved and accepted by you. So if you got to work for your love for God, which you don't, but you're working to get your love from God, then others are going to perceive you as, hey, they got to come and impress you. The only thing you're going to respond to is what somebody does for you. You're going to act the same way. If you're not doing it with God, it's not going to happen with others. You're only going to get those relationships where somebody else is being able to do something for you. And then, oh, yeah, you can come into my circle. Thank you for doing that for me. Now you're my friend now. What if somebody never does anything for you? What if you've got a husband or a wife that never changes and they're the same whatever they are to you? Are you still willing to give them your unconditional love like the Father gives you? A lot to this thing called love, isn't there? You didn't think there was. You're like, oh, I love you. No, it's more than that. Basing your walk with God on doing all the religious things correctly will have you put that same burden on your family, your friends, and your co-workers in order to meet your expectations, and that's not fair. People aren't going to do things correctly all the time. People are going to fail in front of you sometimes. Your pastor's not always going to, I'm going to do something to offend you at some point. And in most places, when you're offended, especially by the leadership of the church, you're gone. So go find somewhere else where someone can offend you until you learn how to deal with offenses. How many times have you offended God with what you've done? He hasn't abandoned you. You see, the man in my example ended up doing all the right Christian stuff, but he didn't feel close to God. He felt closer to God when he first experienced his loving, saving grace. So how should we measure how close we are to God? Okay? How do we do that? How do we measure how close we are to God? Here's the answer. It never changes. You're as close to God as you ever will be. You just haven't experienced it and allowed it to come into your life. Holy Spirit lives right here. You can't get any closer than that. And he's love. And joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self, right? You're not going to get, God's love is unconditional. You're not, you can't earn it. You can't get any closer than you are already with love. You got it all. It never changes how God loves you. That ought to give you comfort. No matter how you act, no matter what you do, his love will never change. No matter what the prodigal did, no matter where he was sitting in the middle of the pig pen, daddy was waiting at home for him to come home. See, you got to move. How many times have I said that? You got to move towards him. You can't just expect that God's going to run to you when you're in the midst of all the junk you're doing. He wants you to get the revelation that his love never changes and that he wants to move through you and he wants you and he'll take you just the way you are if you're willing to submit yourself and take that embrace and let him have your life again. We don't earn it. All we have to do is receive it. It's God's gift to us. And it should be the most natural means by which we live our lives. Let's look at Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I've loved you. How has he loved him? With an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. What did I tell you? How do we draw people into the kingdom of God? With loving kindness and God's love. Not battering rams and picket signs and all that stuff. I'm not saying that there's times where we shouldn't show our, discontent with things that are going on. But if we're alienating and we're only causing more anger and strife to be built up and stirred up by what we're doing, then what are we really doing it for? We have to discern what it is we're to do when people who do not know any better are doing what they're doing. And sometimes it may go in that direction, but I'm saying for the most part, love is what will win. 1 John 4:16 to 19. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. I hope you have. God is love. And the one who abides in love. Okay, how many times did I say? You got to move. God is love. And the one who moves into his love, receives his love, is willing to let go of their past and say, God, I know you love me, even though I've had a poor example all my life from everybody in my life, and everybody in my life has hurt me, and I'm an emotional wreck, and I'm a physical wreck, and it's all because I've had no love. But God, I want all of what you got for me. Just shower me, bathe me, cleanse me, and then all of a sudden everything peels right on off you. Abide. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Boy, when you start connecting with God like that, there's nothing that you can't do, and there's nothing that my God can't do. By this, love is perfected with us. Oh, good. How can we get this thing perfect? So that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Oh my goodness gracious, if you receive God's love and God's love is operating through you, you're just like God to the people that are around you. They're seeing every bit of his nature and his character in you. There's no fear in love. People will not be fearful of you. People will not be intimidated to come to you, to ask you to receive. There's no fear in love. If you're expressing love, if you move into the love field, then you're going to be able to be the best vessel for God to be poured out as a drink offering that he could do. Paul said, oh, pour me out, God, pour me out. Because he had a lot inside. Paul had so much love. We always think, well, he was pretty stern. He wrote all about sanctification and stuff. Yeah, because he knows that that's how you get washed. But how much more could he possibly love you than be willing to go to jail, than be willing to have anything happen to him because he's going to bring you that message irregardless of what? Don't go, Paul. They were crucified. Doesn't matter. I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I live anyway. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. You can't be perfected in love if you think God is an angry God willing to take you out every time you do something wrong. Are you going to do that every time your child does something wrong? I'm going to take you out, boy. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. How many times have we heard that? In jest, maybe. But God's not willing to do that with you. Daughter, I brought you into this world. I can take you out anytime I want. Yeah, he can. But why is he going to leave her? Because she's a love bug. Being willing to be used. He needs her down here with us. And it's the same with you if you're willing to receive his love. But you got to be willing to receive it. And then what? Move. Express it. Give it away. Whatever you've received, give it away. God will keep. See, it's a trust issue. God will replenish everything you give away. That's how it works. The more love he gives you, the more you can give away. The more you give away, the more he'll put in you. But if you don't trust that, I think I better only give you this much love because if I give that away, I may not have it for myself. It's not how it works with God. He lives in you. Where's he going? We love because why? He first loves us. Do you see? We have to receive. We have to give. 1 John 3:1. See now how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. The Father, that we should be called children of God. He's loved us so much, He's willing to bring us into His family. And such we are, because we've received Christ, right? For this reason, the world doesn't know us. Why doesn't the world know us? Because it did not know Him. If people reject you, they're not rejecting. When you extend your love to someone, if they reject that love, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. So receiving God's love is the first step in being able to give it away. And yes, we have to give God's love away. It's part of who we are in Christ. Again, it's what we were created for. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels but don't have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Oh my goodness, I don't want to do that, right? If I got the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries, so I'm operating in the gifts. And all the knowledge, and if I have all faith, now we're really going in all the gifts. We're striving so as to remove mountains. Look at me. The power of God's moving. But I don't have love. I'm nothing. Wow. Remember Jesus say to the people when they came up to the door, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do that? And he said, get away from me. I never knew you. Because they didn't know how to love. They didn't love him. See, we have to love God first before we start operating in all these things. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, now we're really ministering. And if I surrender my body to be burned, yep, that's the max, Lord. But I don't have love, it profits me nothing. That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. How about 1 John 4:7-8? Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is from God. And everybody who loves is born of God and knows God. If you don't have love, you're not born of Him and you don't know Him. The one who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. I think we've established how important it is, isn't it? Matthew 22:37-40. And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart, all of your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And all of your mind, right? All of your mind, will, emotions, spirit, everything you are, everything you have, you love. This is the great and foremost commandment. So we're to love God. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the entire law, the whole law, and the prophets. So the Old Testament was all about the law and the prophets, and he says in the New Testament, if you just do those two things, it'll take care of itself, and you will be a love bug, and I will operate through you, and you will be a tremendous vessel for me. But you gotta move. We must become aware of our need for intimacy and not go through life oblivious to why we were put here in the first place. And we can get very oblivious to things because there's so much that the world tries to drown you with, surround you with, and offer you, because it seeks to please you and your body and your emotions. And your spirit man's going, nope, you guys, hey, get back here. We're here for God. Folks, Jesus died in order to restore us into intimacy with the Father. That's what he died for, to restore us. That's why the veil was torn and separated the veil, to restore us. That's why Jacob's ladder came down like that, so Jacob could see, hey, there's a way up to God. And guess what? We found out in the New Testament that that way to God was Jesus. And the angels ascended and descended up and down that ladder because God is sending ministering angels on your behalf to help you in this life. Jacob saw that. He saw heaven meeting earth, an open heaven. That's what we're asking for. God, open the heavens and let your glory fall. Let your angels come. Let your love permeate this place. Put us on our knees so we'll repent for not only ourselves but our nation and the nations. Therefore, he commands us to love others. Remember, never put the Great Commission before the Great Commandment. Never put the Great Commission before the Great Commandment. Jesus said every religious duty, every religious obligation in the Word of God is summarized in loving God and loving others. Everything that you think you have to do ministry-wise, dutiful-wise, if you love God and love others, it'll just unfold in your life. God will create opportunities for you to express. He'll bring up people into your life. Don't reject them. But you got to have His love in order not to reject them, right? Again, it's not about how much we can do for God or how well we can perform or for even when we fail the most, God's perfect love for us never changes. So if we fail to receive it and give it away, what are we going to do? You're going to need drugs, pornography, maybe some effective ministry or something else to make you feel good in order to fill that void that love is supposed to fill. Do you hear what I said? The reason that we have the drugs and the pornography and the ministries and the do is because it makes us feel good to do something good. But that's only because God's love in us is not rooted. Because if it was, you'd be on a high for the rest of your life. Folks, we need love from God and a proper love from others because He designed us this love to bring life to us. It's what brings us life. Studies show that children who have never known the love of a father or mother and who have never been held, consoled, or shown any form of affection had been mentally and emotionally crippled beyond repair. As adults, they became uncaring, abusive, and unreliable. They also lost the ability to trust. These are children that have never been shown any affection. These children developed uncontrollable anger, severe hyperactivity, learning disorders, and compulsive tendencies such as lying, stealing, and hoarding food. All of these things result from an unloving spirit, folks, that's telling you that God does not love you. So you try to find love in all the wrong places. And then you try to earn the love in all the wrong things. Many children simply died from a lack of expressed love. It's no secret that human beings need affection to thrive. We all need it. We all need to hear the words, "I love you." We all need to be encouraged. We all need to be told once in a while, "Hey, you're doing a great job." It's built into us. It's wired into us. Caring words, friendships, affectionate touch, all of these have a healing quality. Why? Because again, that's how God created us. So, folks, are you comfortable with love? Are you personally comfortable with love? Are you continually filled with the understanding of how much your daddy, your Father in heaven, loves you? Are you aware that the Father takes a delight in you and that He thinks good thoughts about you all the time? Not just when you're doing good or doing bad or doing right or doing wrong. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." God always has His eyes set on you joining Him and moving in His direction. Do you realize that God feels nothing but perfect love for you when He thinks about you? How could He? This is what I've done. This is what I'm doing. He doesn't see you. He sees you through Jesus. If you're saved, when you sin, Jesus goes like this. That's my guess. To the Father. "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Not saying that He wants you to not want you to change. Of course we've got to change. If we're sinning, we need to move out of sin and move towards God. But when we do sin, He loves you just the same. That's why Jesus died. So that God's love for you would never change. He wants your nature and character to develop into His. That's the sanctification process. But you got to understand something. Even when you're in that, whatever, backslidden state, just like the father that was waiting for the prodigal, he was still as... The son was the son, right? He never stopped being his son. The father was always a father to him, and he received the son back with open arms. Well, that's just like you, wherever you are. Jesus is right there like this, showing the father what he died for so that, again, his wrath would not be taken out on you. But then he does this and goes, "Come on, Mm-hmm. Come on. And then one day he's going to go like this and go, here, Father, that's what I died for. And this is why you loved even when we were unlovable. See, if you can get that here, then whatever it is that you're into that you shouldn't be doing ought to motivate you to get a plan to get it out. Knowing that the Father's love still doesn't love you any less, but it probably disappoints him while you're going through whatever it is you're going through. Just like any father would be that way. You're still my son, but I'm disappointed in what you've done. Okay. But it should be love. Love is the greatest motivator. True love thinks no evil. Remember God's words through Paul, stating love is not provoked, nor does it take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. If you're rejoicing over somebody else's failure because you want their position, if you're rejoicing over somebody else's failure because you want to see, you know, your ministry or whatever thrive even more and stuff like that, you have a terrible heart motivation. Folks, don't be deceived or believe a lie about God. The father of lies, the devil continually lies about us, about the loving nature of the Father. Oh, he's not going to forgive you for that one. Oh, he's loved you differently. You've sinned too much. You're too far back. Can't see you back there. He's the father of lies. He wants to deceive you and say, God does not love you as much anymore. No, you've received all the love you're ever going to get from God the Father. It's just how much are you willing to receive of it? Our adversary tells us that God does not love us unless we perform or enough to earn it. And that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You've done nothing to earn God's love. You've done nothing that he had sent Jesus. You did nothing. In fact, we were doing everything wrong. And that's why he sent him. He tells us God is abusive. This is the devil. He says that God is abusive, angry, aloof, impatient, and constantly disappointed in us. So until you have an encounter with Father God and allow his unconditional, affectionate love to fill your heart, you're going to find it difficult to pour out loves to others because you're going to be believing a lie. And that's what our four-year health seminar is all about. Getting the lies out of your life and getting the truth in. You'll just pour yourself out into things. If you can't receive God's love, you'll just find it somewhere in the stuff that's been created and not the Creator. Folks, it's God's love, not achievements, that fill that void in our lives. Romans 13, 8 to 10. Coming to a close here, and then we're going to do something a little special. So plan on staying about 15 minutes late. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it's summed up in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How about that? All those commandments rolled up into one. Just love your neighbor. Wow, it's pretty strong. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus, God, fulfilled the requirements of the law. Does that give us freedom to go out and sin any way we want and stuff like that? No, because if you've received this love, you're not going to do those things. But if you do those things, then put yourself in the place of that servant in the pig pen. God's eyes never came off him. He just needed you to do what? Move. Don't stay wallowing in your self-pity thinking God doesn't love you. Reckon it once and for all. God's love is in you. It's never going to change. It's unconditional. He loves you with everything he's got, whether you're doing good or doing bad. It's up to you to move out of the bad into the good when the love overwhelms you so he can use you more in life. Finally today, before we can have genuine relationships with others in which we are, again, allow ourselves to be honest, open, and vulnerable, because you can't just do that with anybody. I've been in churches where you just can't do that with everybody because you get hacked. But it is helpful to first experience the healing comfort of our Heavenly Father in those areas of hurt and rejection that occur in your mind, your will, and your emotions. I can't emphasize this enough. If you've not taken the four-year health, this is what we do. Now, we do it only because God's doing it through us. But this is the process of what our seminar is about. is to get those mind, will, and emotions in line with the love of God and Him expressing Himself to you so that you can get rid of those things and get His unconditional love in you, which brings healing and deliverance. People who've taken for your health have seen these hurts forgiven, and they've seen themselves even healed from many things. So the question is, have you allowed Father God to wrap His loving arms around you and comfort you in the areas in which you have never felt comfort before? The rest of the series that we're about to preach, it will be devoted to discovering and experiencing your Heavenly Father's embrace.